Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 27th of May, recording at 8:36 p.m. British Standard Time. Well, this technical rally in stock markets continues in here today. I'm delighted with that, as no doubt to most of you people will be as well. It's good for two reasons. First, on existing positions that we have, that odds are that they're actually improving, and price action is improving for them. And it's also taking markets closer to a level where I will be interested in shorting. Subject to the technical action, though, I keep thinking, right now, should I be stepping in and doing a little shorting? Because after all, we may well get some profit taking tomorrow before the long weekend. And then I look at the charts and I say, well, I could do that and it might be all right, but I could easily see this rally spilling over into next week, even if we do get some profit taking on Friday. So I'm going to hold off and hope that markets move a bit higher in here right now, which means that my the very small hedge short positions that I still have are moving against me at the moment. But as I say, that they're no more than about 15% of the short positions that I had that were covered, fortunately, at a profit. When was it? Last week? Okay. Now, what are the interesting factors here in terms of technical indicators that I mentioned on the website that I really ought to talk about here? Well, one of them has been that we have had some upward dynamics, as you know, recently, but I've already mentioned that before. Another factor that I have mentioned, which I really think is quite important here, is that the bond market, remember that had an upside key day reversal. I'm talking about Treasury bond futures now. They had an upside key day reversal, nice bullish little signal, on Friday the 14th of May, and that was the day in which they first broke through their August reaction lows. And I'm pretty convinced, as are some other strategists, that the Fed came in and was buying bonds at that stage because bonds were in danger of breaking down out of a top formation among futures contracts, and they did not want to see a rout there, not least because of all the financial institutions that have been playing the yield curve, also known as the dollar carry trade. So I really do feel that the Fed has been buying bonds in here, and this market, they're either still doing so, or this market's picked up some momentum of its own, because it closed up nearly a full point here today at 107.04 on the June contract. And when I look at the chart, that's a good move, breaking up out of a little trading range. As I look at the chart, it certainly appears capable of rallying a bit further, which I would very much like to see it do. Now, while it is rallying, though, that is a plus factor for global stock markets, because the fear of rising long-term interest rates is in retreat, at least in the short term. Now, another factor here that I think is quite important is that the US dollar has clearly softened. You know, I've been saying in recent days that it was sort of 55-45 that the dollar rally had peaked. Well, let's make that 70-30 in here now, because today we had a nice breakout by the euro on the upside, 122.63. Remember, I've said these are tradable moves, but I'm not playing these myself, because I've got other positions that interest me even more, and you know, one sees a lot of tradable moves, and I hope to comment on them, as many of them as I observe. I will comment on as many of them as I actually observe, but I tend to, obviously, I'm not going to take a position in every single one myself. I also described that from that key day reversal onwards in the U.S. Treasury bonds, you may recall, as a tradable move, but I didn't want to play it because I felt that this would be a top extension rally, so I'd rather have that carry through. But get back to the dollar here. Why is that a bull factor for the US stock market? Well, the simple reason is that there are a lot of US multinational corporations, and that if the dollar is soft, that helps their operating profits because they consolidate earnings in dollars. So in other words, their overseas earnings are worth more in US dollars. And vice versa, if the US dollar is rallying. Now, the dollar decline is also bullish for a number of the Asian stock markets, and we may well see some of those pick up here a little bit more in the short term. One of them that could do best, and I noticed it had another upward dynamic here today, and it's been very much a laggard recently, is Thailand, my old friend Thailand. And it had an upward dynamic right at the low, the reaction low. With that, I haven't got the chart right under my nose, but that must have been about a week and a half ago. And we had another upward dynamic in here today. Now, I noticed my old friend, the Aberdeen New Thai Fund, that's the UK-listed closed-end fund, ANW. Now, that was up today, up 1.5p, but it's really quite low still. And I noticed that the discount to net asset value was nearly 11%. So that, to me, looks quite attractive for a little bit of a trading rally. I thought about possibly playing that, but then demurred, because I've already got a lot of that, but I certainly do think it's going to rally higher here, and it's most definitely in a buying range rather than a selling range, and so would any equivalent US-listed iShare Thailand fund. Thailand will have a spectacular GDP growth rate, I suspect, in coming years, and it will remain one of my favorites from time to time. So if I were to do anything in that market in here today, I would most definitely be a buyer, despite the fact that I think the markets are going to go up to levels where we might well be wanting to short again. But I won't be shorting things like Thailand. I don't think one can anyway. But I will be looking to short some of the European and U.S. indices once again. Now, the last point I would mention in terms of the stock markets is that it's not just stock markets, it's most markets, is that remember the global reflation trade, and that was due to the low interest rates and the extreme amount of credit creation that we were getting from the U.S. Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan and other central banks. And then there were a number of stories and fears that this could all collapse simultaneously. And indeed, from very overbought levels in a number of the metals and so on, we did see sharp reactions, very sharp reactions. And bonds fell, everything, stocks fell, the metals fell very sharply, and so on. Currencies fell against the US dollar. So we did have a significant unwinding of that, or put it this way, a significant shakeout. Nobody knows the exact percentage of what, in terms of how much was unwound, but it was not insignificant, let's put it that way. Well, now it's moving in the other way, because what that would have done would have taken a lot of speculative investors and traders, not least the hedge funds, out of quite highly leveraged positions. They would have raised a lot of cash, and now they're moving into some of those same positions again, as indeed are our investors. I was saying yesterday that no doubt some investors would be drawn back into the stock market by this rally, and it is a tradable rally in the short term. Excuse me. Now, how long will this global reflation trade actually carry on for? Don't know. Is the answer, but I think it could easily go on for another week or two, and possibly even a little bit more. But at the moment, that's what's taking place, and of course, that's helping stock markets. It's helping pretty well all markets. Currencies are rallying against the dollar. We're seeing commodities rallying in here now, and not least the metals, and we're seeing bonds rally. So everything's getting pumped up a bit, and stock markets, as I've already mentioned, are part of that. Okay, now let's move on here and talk about the metals. I think this is extremely interesting. I won't review the silver trades because I detailed those and posted the Baby Steps article there. But I probably get more queries in terms of actual trading tactics and so on Baby Steps than anything else. And so I thought some of you might want to see that actual article. Now, in terms of my silver strategy, as I say, I'll play that whatever takes place as long as there's volatility. It'll give me opportunities to buy on easing and lighten on the rallies. What I don't know, and can't know, and neither does anyone else, is whether we would get a lot of sort of ranging activity, which would enable me to buy or repurchase some of the September silver contracts where I have recently taken profits, or whether it's just going to go straight up from here. But the difference in terms of my trading activity, if it just goes straight up over here from here, or continues to go straight up from here, it could get overextended fairly quickly. Therefore, I would probably chop back on my July positions quite aggressively. And as I say, I'm about all square on those now. I mean, I'm looking at July silver. It's currently at six, trading at 6:21 after hours, and my average purchase of those is 6:21 and a half, and then I still have a September contract which was purchased quite cheaply at I think 5:55. So, but the point is that if silver were to sell off for any reason back and fill in this range, I would be building up a long position again. But if it goes straight up and becomes overextended, I could easily chop the lot. Take the additional profit. And I've described this all along as a trade where I really do feel I had been cavalier in that, because it was catch a falling knife territory. And as I have stressed, that the baby steps tactic works, or is best, is most appropriate for something that's fundamentally cheap, showing signs of a type 3, i.e. ranging type of base formation development. It allows us to harvest the range rather than to get sit with something that just trades sideways for a long, long time, which is demoralizing. And it also enables one to harvest the range. In other words, you and I can only deal with with what the market provides. And the market's going to give us a trading range and something that's cheap. You can either sit there and we can twiddle our thumbs and patiently wait for it to recover, or as I say, harvest the range. Okay, enough on baby steps. Now, in terms of other metal positions, the lead had moved up about 7 out of the last 8 days. It was really quite a powerful rally. Remember, I've got a position there with more than $100 profit there, partially locked in with a trailing stop. This faltered a little bit today, went up to a new recovery high, and came off a bit. I'm hoping that that won't come off too sharply, that it'll remain reasonably steady, but I'm looking to take the profit on that. I could have done it today, and it might have been a good idea in the morning. But given if we get this dollar continuing to sell off tomorrow, and a little bit more of this reflation trade, I should have another chance, or if profit taking carries causes reactions in here, then next week to see further chances to sell lead at a reasonable price. Tin also hit a new high again, but then came off a little bit. Palladium, I looked at my rollover details on the count this morning. Remember, I told you I'd rolled the June palladium into the September contract, which I had to do because the spread bet positions expire a little ahead of the straight futures contracts. And I did come out of that June with a tiny profit. And that's at Palladium's up to 55 in here today. I could easily rally a bit further in here. The one that's done best, my latest purchase, was the copper, and that was up over 4 cents today. So I put in the money stop, and that was just fairly close. I'm certainly not going to take many risks beyond the ones that I took with silver in this overall environment. And last but not least, to mention the oil market. Now, oils had quite a shakeout in here today. And as I speak, the spot crude on the mercantile U.S. exchange is at 39 and 32 cents, $39.32. So back below that psychological $40 level. And the gasoline charts, remember I showed those the other day, and it had a big upward dynamic, but that was on top of a long move. And I said it's hard to assess those because it can indicate continuation, but equally it can indicate that it's a bit climactic in here. And climactic wins the day because this is soft. So the oil contracts themselves have lost upward momentum, the petroleum contracts. Natural gas, on the other hand, were at quite a tight stop in there and nearly triggered. Is in the money stop there. That came back, but the pattern looks firmer. Now, again, we've had a lot of people forecasting a shakeout in the oil markets, and then we had the news of Saudi increasing Saudi's increasing production. But my feeling is that while oil can easily come back a bit, I've said that it was a bit overextended, we could easily get a consolidation in here, and that's certainly evident now. That really, I felt that there was still more upside risk than downside risk, and that would probably remain the case unless we had a change announced by the White House in terms of their policy on the strategic reserves, which most likely comment would be that they were quite satisfied with the level of the strategic reserve and were not going to do any more buying, and that could easily trigger a bit of a shakeout. Another factor that people have been mentioning, and Owen's given me some charts on this, I'm going to try to post these tomorrow. I'll be in for a while before Mrs. Fuller takes me to the to Hay on Wye for the weekend book festival. Be good to get away from the markets for a few days, although they've been good to us, haven't they, recently? Well, I hope they have for you. But one of the things that people have picked up on is the fact that the freight rates had a bit of a shakeout, and that's the chartered oil ship rates, and very often that does lead a correction in the oil price. But bear in mind, though, that despite speculation, certain amount of inventory building in the oil sector, bear in mind that all it would take would be either a breakdown of a refiner, of an important refiner, or perhaps a strike in some of the oil producing countries, or strike by refiners, let alone a terrorist attack on a oil refinery that could really catapult prices quite higher, and of course pull stock markets down very, very swiftly in that event. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but that is certainly a risk because refiners are going flat out, and there's still backwardations in these petroleum contracts. That means there's no room for error or mistakes here in the supply pipeline. And that's my wrap for another day. Have an excellent evening.